Oh, now it's raining.
You just fix it. Thank you. Should I just sit?
You can do whatever you want. Do you want to come up?
No. All right. Hi, everyone. How are you? Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Nicole Rodowitz, borough resident. Also here to give a quick update, excuse me, in regards to the Newtown experience. So this is something that we came last year to talk about. As of May, we are incorporated with the state of Pennsylvania, and Bucky Klosser has been working up with us and has submitted our 501c3 application into the IRS. As far as the board goes, as submitted, we have myself as president, Bashara Shapiro, who was here the last time, as vice president, Barry Fleck as the treasurer, and Andy Smith as the secretary. We are actively looking for volunteers. We have this, when we go to events, we have like a QR code here that goes to a Google Doc so that if people are interested in being part of the experience, they can click that and then put their information in. We're working on a website currently. Andy's wife's supposed to be helping me with that very soon. In the meantime, you can follow us at the Newtown Experience on Instagram and on Facebook. As a reminder, we're focusing in on Newtown Borough businesses and events. We hopefully will eventually be a one-stop shop for information for the borough. Following Judy's lead, because she does so much work putting all the events things together, I will follow that as the events get approved by Borough Council, and then that will be what is posted online. The only other things that we would post on social media would be, let's say, if Second Sin was doing a trivia night, and then they tag the Newtown Experience in that, then that's an easy share for me to do. Eventually, once we have a website, we would like to get a little bit more organized, where we ask if the business wants us to post something, that they actually have like a deadline, let's say like Thursday at a certain time, so then I can make sure that there's like one post with all the information before the weekend starts. So, and then once we are an official 501c3, we also want to apply for grants, and then we'll be able to do fundraising because we'll have a bank account set up. My ask today for council is to consider the Newtown Experience for a donation while we're in our while you guys are in the finalization of your budget. A private donor has thus far been replenishing the already approved flags on the poles. So that has luckily not been something, you know, since we don't have money right now, that has been taken care of. But in the future, those flags, our goal would be that all the events that Judy posts would be like, it would just say fall. And then there would be a QR code that someone can click on it and then get all the fall events at once, versus right now we have Market Day out there, which is, you know, fantastic. And obviously, very big deal in Newtown Borough, but we would like to be able to include the other events that are going on in town. As we move forward, you can see this is kind of like the branding, the Newtown Experience logo that is already on, that has been approved and already on the banners and flags. And yeah, so we're just hoping to bring the community together. In the past, the different mercantile groups, they tended not to work out, but in this, what we're trying to do is not have the businesses work for this. Like, we're trying to help the businesses become successful, and then therefore the goal would be that more businesses would be like, hey, I want to go to that town and I want to start a business there. So happy to answer any questions. Again, while you're in your budget process, I just wanted to reintroduce the Newtown Experience and have you consider us for a donation in 2025.
Do you have an idea of how much you would need?
Well, I mean, so it's a little complicated right now because I won't even go into what it takes to do the tree lighting. There's so many people involved, so many hands, that we are actually able to do it. What I would like to be able to do is, let's say we are established by the spring and we are able to do some new banners. For the past few years, the Shamrock Shuffle has done the flags as part of the 5K run. So if we could at least have funding to get a spring flag together, then that would be ideal. I believe last year we had asked for about 2,000. That's kind of where some of the other nonprofits that get money from the government borough council are at. But honestly, anything that you can do to be supportive to what we're trying to do would be great.
So just as an example, what is the approximate cost to put on the tree lighting?
So
like if once you guys are in your full glory and you've got your 501c and you're paying for it.
So I couldn't even tell you how much it costs, because Harry calls the guy at the tree farm and then he donates the tree, but like it's like a, so if we had to buy our own tree, and if we had to, I mean, and no offense to Alan Smith, but Steepleview, hopefully the goal was to eventually plant a tree, you know, over there when that all gets situated, so that there isn't this like expense and all this work every year. John and I took down the tree last year. I mean, it was a dangerous situation. So like we actually had to pay people. Like I get the cookies donated, get the choirs to come. So it is very much a community event. I would have to, I don't even know.
Well, even the upkeep of the tree lights.
Right, Kathy takes care of that.
Every year, because they don't last.
Yeah.
She takes it out of her own pocket, the wreaths that we put up on State Street.
But I mean, the goal for the Newtown experience is, I mean, it's really nice to have all the volunteers and the community involvement, and of course you want to keep that, but the goal is if you had to,
right,
pay out of pocket for an event like that,
yeah,
you want to be able to have the money to do that.
So I asked the same exact question as you when I sat, I mean, I wasn't in the president's chair, but when I sat at the council table, and I was 20,000, like literally, like, because you got to get the tree there.
Yeah.
You have to get the, and Shanahan and Love helps with that. And then they store the bottom part. Like it's just, there's so many hands involved, but it's a lot. It's enough for a grant. Could possibly. So as you all know, and I'm sure the new manager has been, like there's grants in the universe with tourism and whatnot. If you can get Bucks to think that this is like, they really want it to be like kind of a weekend event. So when the flag that, you know, it's the same flag that goes up now, it's like, it says on it, the tree lighting, the holiday house tour, and then the parade. Well, the parade is MBA. We're just giving that kind of like fun weekend environment where there's something for everyone. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it would be hard. It's hard for me to estimate exactly how much it would be, but I do remember asking that question, and it off the top of my head, I remember like $20,000 to like do the whole entire shebang. Because you also like police are there, you know, like there's a lot going. The fire, you know, fire company lets us use their firehouse, that, you know, so it's just very, very community. We don't want to change that by any means, but at the same time, it would be nice for John and I not to die when we're taking down the tree. You know, that would be nice.
I ruined my winter coat because of the tree sap.
Gotta get a new North Face. I was like in the stand.
But I just we have such a good opportunity here. They it's been a long process of, you know, we get some momentum, then something dies, get some momentum.
Right.
But having Nicole, Barry, Andy, and Shara on this committee, the four of them, we saw what Andy's done, right? Barry's passion, he's the funding the flags, right?
Yeah.
Ashara's opening this beautiful other end of the town and trying to get, you know, more things going on there. It's just the right mix of people, and we can get this to just get up and running. I think it's great, and I thank you for all the work that you've
done. No, and we're slowly working on the businesses. My biggest thing is, like, I'm not saying, oh, you have to give, you know, $1,000 to join this group in order for me to do the work. Like, it's like, no, this is like, you're going to want to be part of this group because we're putting in the effort and we're making things fun. And we're also getting out on social media enough where maybe more people will come to events. So thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Nicole? All right. So we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate it.
And let you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I can say that we will give a donation. It's just talking about how much we want to give as a donation. So. All right. Thanks, Nicole. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So you've all, I think you put this out on here, this here is just, okay. So, yeah, okay. So over the last month and a half, 2 months, we've been working on Chief Sabbath's contract, which expires in January of next year, the end of January next year of 2025. And we had a committee meeting. I met with the chief. We sat down, we discussed some of the things in the contract. And then you guys had the executive committee meeting last month. We discussed, and you guys had discussed that. So I think we've got a good, clean agreement here. And what I would like to do is obviously let the chief take some time to review. We could sit down and talk about it, him and I, make sure he's okay with it, and then come back and present it to council for approval at that point, and everyone feels comfortable with it. But we'll make sure that everyone has a copy of it prior to the November meeting. Does that make sense? Or is it
the agreement in the share file for council?
I think it went up today, right?
Yeah, I mean, depending on when you guys have time to get together and, you know, giving chief ample time to review, it can be next week or it can be November.
Okay, I just want to make sure you all have enough time to see it.
And just so you guys know, we're talking about it broadly here, but like all of the details are not public until we vote on it. So
I did notice in what was in share file that there's still some blanks in here. Are they things that you're still talking about?
I think you're talking about the, we have to wait for the collective bargaining agreement number for next year.
I don't want to get into the details either. There are a couple blanks.
Can you reach out to John one-on-one with those?
Because
we shouldn't be discussing.
I just said that he said,
well, here it is. I've
got a
couple
blanks.
So, John, Julia will reach out to you. The length is blank. So it can be for that.
It's a very long line.
Yeah, it's just the salary which hasn't taken place yet.
There's a blank on page 3.
Yeah, that's
let's talk about that afterwards.
Yeah, Julie, you guys can reach out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we'll get that squared away and plan to vote next week or November, whenever y'all are ready. Okay. Do you have anything else, John? You do. You have lots of reminders.
Thank you. So just a special event reminders. Newtown Library Company 5K on Saturday, October 5th, 9 to 10 a.m. Market Day sponsored by the Newtown Historic Association this Saturday as well. 10 to 4, Port Street Center, South Congress, Mercer. And the rain date for that, there is a rain date for October 6th, so that doesn't look like it's going to rain, which is great. Fashion show vendor and silent auction, breast cancer charity event sponsored by the Main Street, formerly Pine to Bank, is Thursday the 17th from 5 to 10. That's Thursday, 17th from 5 to 10 on State Street. And a Halloween movie in the park, sponsored by Recreation Board on Friday, October 18th, 6 to 9. Flint Memorial Park, there is a rain date, October 19th.
And that will be Beetlejuice.
Yes,
the original.
The original, excellent.
I believe the original.
It is the original, yeah.
And then, Haunted Hustle, a new 5K sponsored by the NR2F1 Foundation on Saturday, October 19th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Rain or shine, all races should be. And Newtown Halloween Parade sponsored by the Rec Board on Saturday, October 26th from 9 to 11:30. There is no rain date for that as well. So a lot going on in October.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's all I have.
Right. Any questions for John? All right, thank you. Michelle.
Thank you. I have no agenda items for next week, and I want to apologize that you don't have my engineer's report for this month, but I can quickly run through a couple things. The MCPA development, we are almost there. All of the work, we believe, is now complete at the site. I have to talk to Craig about their as-built plan and some relief that they want. But that may be complete as of a week or two. State and Court Street Development, I reported last month that we expected their paving to be done by now. However, we gave them a prepaid punch list, some concrete curb that had to be replaced, and they have yet to do that. So their paving will be done before next month when the paving plants close. So shortly that'll be done. Steepleview Development, they submitted to us their proposed project for their MS4. MS4 sediment reduction credits that the borough will hopefully be able to get credit for. And they have talked to St. Andrews, which is directly across the creek from where they need to do the development. And St. Andrews is on board with doing the project. So that is going forward. Next step will be meeting with DEP, and we're trying to schedule that with them. And our plan is to get DEP to buy into the project, agree on the amount of sediment reduction that project will give the borough, and hopefully the borough will satisfy the next permit period's requirements, which we don't know as of this point what DEP's requirements are. Washington Avenue, Lincoln Avenue, traffic signal. All of the punch list items regarding the ramps are now complete, except we have stabilization left to do and as-built plans left to do. The as-built plans are required by the contractor to do them, and they are working them out with Bowman, who is the sub-consultant on that. And we're thinking that it'd be a lot easier if the traffic consultant who designed the intersection did that, but they have yet to submit them. PennDOT, once we go out and verify that the ramp replacement that was just recently done is at the correct slope, PennDOT will schedule another inspection to go out and verify it. 110 North State Street will be on not the October Planning Commission agenda, but I expect it to be probably on the November agenda. Connection management plan, nothing new there. The Frost Lane sidewalk project, we're still working on getting that designed. This year's road improvement project, if anybody was up near North Elm and Andrews Drive today, you could see that the ramps were being replaced. So the project started today. They have a very aggressive schedule. I'm not sure if they talked about this during the pre-construction meeting, but they hope to be all the concrete work done and then the milling and overlaying the road by the end of next week. With the rain, I doubt that that'll happen, but it's very aggressive. So we might see that being done really shortly. And 116 East Jefferson Street, that new house is going up, and they have some road restoration to do. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Michelle?
I had a question about the road program.
Sure.
So I did see on the website that it's saying that next week they're going to be doing milling. Are they doing milling in all those locations on the same couple days? Like, will there be signs posted on those roads to say, don't park here this day, we're going to be doing it?
We'll make sure that it's at least posted. All of the residents who have work in front, along their frontage, have been notified.
Well, so our driveway, not our frontage is on Washington, but our driveway is on Norwood. So I haven't gotten any notification at all.
Okay.
So my question is, when?
You probably wouldn't get notification until few days before for the milling project, for the concrete work that they're doing, because they're starting that now, and that's going to take them several days. They notified everybody on Monday that the work was starting today. So probably a few days before, but I'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, because we don't have a Norwood address. That's the
thing. Okay.
And for the public, all the information of where this is occurring and when is on the website. So if you have any questions about road closures, look there. Oh, speaking of the intersection, how is that lady?
She'll be okay.
Okay,
she was conscious and aware afterwards.
Right after our meeting.
In a crosswalk. In a crosswalk, on my corner, I think.
Right.
Yeah, Lincoln.
That's right.
Yes.
In a crosswalk on your corner?
In a crosswalk.
Even with the delay light in the print.
I'm glad she's okay.
She did go to the hospital, but okay. As far as a precaution.
Good.
Well, if you don't click that before you, if you get to the light, you stop and you don't click it, and if it's not time, is not right. Like sometimes people cross anyway, because the old
you can't control people. I know they will cross
like,
anyway.
I mean, because everyone's used to the way it used to be, which is turns green,
right.
I get to go,
yeah.
And so the people driving, I don't think are watching anything; they're looking for the signal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know.
But
that's not our choice, right?
Right. I think the one time we were out there, we saw a woman on her phone.
Yeah.
Really going through the intersection.
Yeah. They don't pay attention to red lights anyway. Yeah.
Any more questions? Any additional questions for Michelle? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Greg.
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 Only I could stand being called Gregory. We've had some discussion on mobile food vendors tonight. That has been sent to the Borough Planning Commission for review on Monday night regarding the zoning section. Similarly, it will be sent to Bucks County Planning Commission for their review of that small zoning section, and we'll have the advertisement prepared and out for the November business meeting for a hearing on that ordinance and enactment. The next on the agenda item is, or I guess, are there any other questions or discussion on the mobile food vendors?
Are we going to circle back to it later?
I figured I'd stop since I'm going by the agenda.
So the concerns that were brought up, are they reading it and interpreting the zoning correctly that someone could operate it on their private property from 8 to 9?
Yes.
That is the way that it's but if it's a special event, it is limited.
The special, which is the one-off permit.
Well,
and,
it's
and,
exempt
and
from
it altogether.
Well, no, so that's
well,
a special event, huh?
I think on two, there's the borough special event process, which we're all familiar with, through the police department, the mayor, and everything, and that the food truck ordinance does not impact that whatsoever. That's just part of the special event permit that the police review and make sure that everything's safe. There's the single event permit, which I think is what we were kind of conflating, which is what can be used to operate on residential properties and or properties not within the commercial zoning districts. It's when you can't use a location permit, a host permit, you have to use the single event permit. So it's a one-off, one-time event. The host business permits, which are in Don's exhibit, I'm assuming this is accurate, the purple, which it does look to be considering it's the TC, the V1, A2, and the V1 and B2. If you hold a host permit, you can operate. And I didn't look at it yet, but I think that there is some concept in to know when the food trucks are going to be there, or at least we'll know where they're operating on the property. They do need to meet all the requirements, and the plan itself needs to be approved before the permit's issued. So there's will essentially be on any of these private properties there will be a host, will have a host and be a host, have a host permit. There'll be like a designated spot where they can have a truck operating. So some of those concerns will be mitigated by the fact that when it's reviewed by the borough, whoever that is designated to be, will say, suppose this has a noise concern and those type of things to limit some of those impacts through the plan approval process for the host location permit. But can there be one every day? There could, potentially. I would say
8 to 9.
That's the ordinance states.
So yes. One or
five. So that's what I was saying is even if we have a special event, if we're doing special events, we say you can only happen 4 hours. I would think that we would want the same thing to be true for businesses or residents. Like it's 4 hours or 5 hours, whatever. And limit it, like it can be from 8 to 9, but you need to pick which hours.
Yeah, we could say 8 to 9, but a food truck cannot run more than like there's like a 5 hour limit. Or
right,
4 hours.
Exactly. That's, I think that would be a nice addition personally. I don't know if anyone else.
Yeah, I'm glad actually Don brought this up that, yeah, what I don't want and conceivably could happen is that a business that's not normal, not a restaurant business, is now having a restaurant, basically, mm-hmm. a takeout restaurant in their back, in their parking lot.
So
that's what I don't think we want to do that.
Well, right. And there was something, I went to the Rotary event, just walked through this past weekend, and something that did concern me. He mentioned 150 feet from an operating business, and you have restaurant trucks set up right outside of down by Duck Sauce and Pat's Colonial Kitchen, and you've got food trucks in the street selling food.
But that's a special event, we're taking that off the table.
I know, but I'm just saying, I see the point of having it at least away from the restaurant.
We are a very compact borough. If we had such large numbers like that, 150 feet away from a business, 200 feet away from residents, no one would be able to use a food truck. And if we're saying 200 feet away from a residence, we're allowing them on private residences. So
yeah, but they're competing in the road. Like, yeah.
Anecdotally, and this isn't a scientific survey or any sort, but in reference to Norristown, there are several other municipalities throughout Montgomery and Bucks that I'm familiar with that have some version of a mobile food vendor ordinance, and they're all a little different. Like Norristown does have that separation. Norristown has its own set of considerations and is actually a very extensive ordinance that weaves in and out of what is required here, including some health inspections that relate to that, which the county, both Bucks and Montgomery, have determined isn't necessary. It's redundant. But the idea that food trucks are going to be operating in these spaces on a constant basis has not been something that has come to fruition. So I know that we plan for the, not necessarily the worst case scenario, but what could happen and what the ideal is. But I think that the idea that someone will essentially park a food truck on their property or have a rotating set of food trucks that is there every day is just not something we've seen happen since these food trucks became more popular in the last 4 years, at all in the last 4 years. And if anything, we're kind of either in a plateau of food trucks, as from what I'm seeing, or maybe even a little backslide as the post-COVID world takes shape. So that's more of a, less of a legal question, but just of an observational thing of what I've seen happening in other places.
But I think Donna did it on the head earlier in the day, like, but I don't want to leave that to let the food trucks dictate, right? Like, my intention or my thought of this whole process was more of the special permit food truck that could come in for a couple of hours on a Saturday or whatever holiday, you know, whatever they wanted to celebrate or business opening or whatever, and then they're gone. What's to say someone decides, buy a food truck, park it. It doesn't have to be continuously operated, but use it when they want to, but it still sits there.
They
have to be removed.
Ordinance, they have to be removed by 10 p.m.
It has to be gone by then.
Yes.
Okay.
On private
I do like the smaller windows.
But it's still 9 to
yeah.
Or 8 to 9.
But I do like
limiting
that out.
So can we put anything in there to tighten up the windows of which you can have a food truck, even if you're a business or a resident, so it's not like an all-day thing?
I mean, I don't mind limiting it to like 4 or 5 hours at a time. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Have you ever tried to book a food truck recently? If you try to book a food truck for an event, they won't even come to you unless you can guarantee next amount of meat. that's how the site came out, was the food truck. So as an individual who's hosted events in and around the borough, if you don't guarantee them that you have, let's say, 250 individuals in foot traffic, they won't even come to your site, period. That's how in demanding. So you have to also understand that, like, I park a food truck, no traffic isn't relevant for food truck. But just be aware. We do this for Couch Rock Newtown. We hosted them this year at Chandler Field, and multiples wouldn't come because we couldn't guarantee enough individuals would be at the fields for the event. That's how the breweries all run it, is that they can guarantee that during the course of the day that they have at least 300-400 individuals that are coming by problem.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. Mr. Mayor, I will amend my statement. With written permission, the food truck can stay overnight under a host's property. But generally, if they come for a day, it needs to be out by 10 p.m.
So, and again, the ordinance is written so that they have to comply with our noise ordinance. I mean, we are trying to make sure that people who want to have a food truck aren't going to be a nuisance to those around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes like the decibel level, the generator, all of that. So if everyone agrees, I think limiting, like, you can 8 to 9, but only for 5-hour window.
Good idea.
I think so.
Is that a change we can make? We'd have to re-advertise, which
we haven't advertised.
Oh, we haven't. I thought we voted.
No, but we need to send the new copy to the voted.
Oh, we haven't sent it yet.
To move the process forward, but
we won't have to retain.
Would you want to do the same hours to keep it so it's like same for special events, same for, like, if it's 5 and
yeah.
5 instead of like 4, because 4 for
no,
a special
because I think if
a morning or day.
Yeah, and I think if a business is going to host and they want someone there for both lunchtime and dinner time, 5 hours is a better option than 4.
I mean, it's not a big deal. We should probably change it to 5 for the residents too. If you want.
That's
to
what I was saying. Is like.
But I agree with 5.
I don't care if they're. The same. They can be. It's not anything. I just think it should be 5.
I think 5 is appropriate.
Do we want to regulate the number of days of the week that a host can have a food truck, so they aren't having one every day? And I understand that the marketplace might not support it right now, but you certainly don't want your ordinance to be so open-ended that you're discovering that it's being abused.
I mean, I think that's what
Don was saying.
Was like, more concerned about was that, I mean, somebody could take their food truck and park it at a parking lot, off site, and then every day bring it in. And it could still sit there all day and night, just not operate, except for the 5 hours, but they're still coming back potentially every single day and still having that business, basically a business. They're up to
it's
business.
Basically a takeout.
Yeah, it's a takeout business. And it could be right next to another restaurant potentially.
So what would you want to limit it to?
Non-consecutive days.
3 days a week,
I mean, it's going way back. I think it just, for me, that the idea of it was really the special event form, and that's kind of where we should probably leave it, and that should be our food truck opportunity.
But that doesn't give anything to a private resident who wants to have a food truck for a party because they're not applying for a special event through the borough.
No, but you're talking about you're talking about the single event,
single event.
So that a resident could do that.
Yeah.
And then a business could do it as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it limits them to, we don't have to worry about them parking a truck or leaving or coming every day, or it's just specifically for a purpose. And then it expires, right?
Right.
I mean, that's, to me, it's the easiest because it's consistent across the board, and that's what it is. And when we feel it out, if we feel it gets, this is good, then maybe we'll be expanded to the next phase. And I just, I do
so
feel
we have one permit, the single event permit.
Single event.
And does somebody apply every day for a single
event? Yeah, like, I mean, that's my well, my concern with that is the staff needed to review if someone's pulling in a food truck, special event, single event permit every day. We don't have the bandwidth for that. So that you know, it can be abused either way.
They have to be approved, right?
By somebody. That's the point. Somebody has to review either.
If a business is sending in a single event permit for every day,
could we write something where they can't do that?
Right. I mean, we would have
twice a week or once a week at the most. Or
I think we're getting into the weeds a little bit. I think, you know, this is now like month 5 or 6 we're discussing this, and we got to this point because we discussed it and got to this point. I'm not opposed to making changes. Like, I think limiting the hours that they can within 8 to 9 is good, but I think if we start stepping too far back, we've just wasted all this time. I mean, my concern with getting rid of the host business permit is someone abusing the system a different way by sending in a single event permit every day. And we can't handle that here. We have 2 staff members. And the person who's probably going to be reviewing them is the zoning officer, and they're not here. And cha-ching.
So I have a question about the food trucks. So they go through the process to get the permits, even for the right now, like the special event. Who makes sure that they have that? They actually went to the fire department and got their inspections and things done, and they're safe right now. Who does that? Who will do that in the future?
I think the health department gets involved because...
Well, the health department doesn't get involved with our process. The truck has to have their own inspection from the health department. But
the fire department.
The fire department is in charge of making sure that they are up to code and all of that.
But once they come to our borough, at that point, you make sure that they went to the fire department.
So there is no like overarching requirement that there's a inspection of the safety, other than a motor vehicle inspection.
Right.
And then the health department inspection. Those are the only 2 things that I know of that are required for a food truck. This adds a component of a borough inspection to have safe operation of those other pieces of the food truck that aren't a vehicle, i.e. the fuel, the operation of the grills or the heating elements or all those type, the wiring to make sure that it's safe operation. Under the special event, I don't know if Chief wants to weigh in, or I don't know if we, under our current special event permit, there's nothing outlined specifically about food trucks in that process by ordinance or otherwise that I know of. So I don't know if there is an inspection going on to the level that this ordinance would contemplate.
So for the event that we had in the park, I recommended to the rec board that the food trucks go and get everything sort of certified by the fire department. And they went and did that. They went out to fire department and had them inspect with the food trucks. And at that point, the fire department says, do you have your health permit? They show them their health permit, and then they look for safety things.
Right? Should they come back with a little sticker? That
they come back, they have a form that says they're approved to be here. So my question is, that after that point, who goes around to make sure the food trucks did all that stuff for the permit? You know, once they
I think
currently you're under the order. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think the process would be that anytime a permit request comes in, either for a host business or a single event, before that permit is issued, the zoning officer, who is probably going to be the one reviewing it, the code enforcement officer, doesn't issue the permit until the fire department has finished what they need to do.
Under this ordinance, the mobile food vendor itself also needs a permit. Right. This is a 2-permit process,
right.
One for location, one for the mobile food vendor apparatus.
Right.
We don't have that requirement now. So
we got rid of the mobile.
No, I'm saying there is no requirement in the borough code to require any inspection of the mobile food vendor at all.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, right, but once we, but it is in the new ordinance.
Correct.
And so once that process starts, my question is, who's going to follow up to make sure that they went to the fire department and that they had got their safety checks and all of that?
The permit shouldn't be issued by the borough until it's confirmed with the fire department that they did it. That should be the process.
Okay. But that's the mobile food unit, the mobile unit permit, not the host permit.
Right.
Just a little dash.
Right. But they have to have both to have the food truck.
Right.
So it's.
And if the host business is trying to bring in a food truck or brings in a food truck that doesn't have a borough mobile food vendor permit, then there are consequences to them violating the conditions of their host permit for having unauthorized food trucks at their event.
I guess to kind of pull this back a bit, her talking with the fire department, they said that a lot of the food trucks show up the day of because that's when they're in the area. So they come in and then they get their inspection and then they go to the site that they're going to, because otherwise they're coming from all over the place. They're not like around the corner. These food trucks are traveling to get to Newtown. So
it's planned in advance. Yeah, the food most food trucks, other than the ones you see probably around the college campuses in the city, issue a schedule week, a month in advance about where they'll be. They'll say, they'll put on their social media or their website that says, we'll be next week, we'll be here on Monday, here on Tuesday, here on Wednesday, here on Thursday, or they even do it a month out. I mean, that's kind of the standard operating procedure that I've seen from food trucks these days. They're not driving around going, where can I set up today? It's not like a great food truck race on the Food Network.
Right.
So it seems like we're all in agreement that 8 to 9, but limited to 5 hours consecutively.
But then how many days of the year?
Or a week.
Then what combination of days are you going to get?
So I guess, so I guess I see like the host permit, which is good for a year. Right, and right now it doesn't allow you to have more than 4 food trucks on at any one time under a business permit. So you've got this thing for a year. You could have 4 food trucks should you have a big enough facility, right? You have room for 4 food trucks, and across the year that could have been 50 different food trucks. But you know there are different times. So the question is, are you okay with, as I said before, essentially giving a business that is not necessarily a restaurant set up a second business on their property, operating all the time? That's basically what you're doing. You're saying you can have 2 different uses on your property, one being whatever you do, you know, you make widgets and you have 4 food trucks in the back. So that's 2 businesses. That's vending, and that's manufacturing your widgets. So is that something that we want to do? Is that something we want to allow? It's a good question, because you're saying, oh, it'll never happen. Well, that's really not how you write an ordinance. You write an ordinance that says we're not going to allow that. It may never, no one may ever try to violate or do that or do more than the ordinance allows, but if you haven't set any parameters, then you're wide open. You can't do anything about it. If somebody says, well, I got my permit, I've been for a year, and I can have 4 food trucks every day.
I think the only way to eliminate that, or at least reduce, is to have a limit on number of days per week,
right? You know,
2 days per week. That then becomes too cumbersome for somebody to be dragging trucks in and out, you know, 2 days a week, gone for 5 days. I mean, I guess then can they have 1 truck there for 2 days and then the next truck there for 2 days and then the third truck there?
The host permit can only have, doesn't matter how many trucks there are or which trucks they are, it's that
they can only operate on.
They can only have 2 trucks on their property for 2 days. Or X number of days a year, or however you want to figure this out.
Yeah, because I don't think what we're talking about with limiting the hours just addresses Don's and probably other people's concerns,
right,
that there's going to be a food truck there every day,
right,
just disappears overnight and comes back.
Or it doesn't have to disappear overnight, because if they have permission to the host business, they can stay overnight.
Yeah.
That's that in the ordinance. The only one that has to leave is in the residential area.
Okay.
Can we send this back to the drawing board for another month?
I mean, we can. Or we can just decide to make the changes now and move forward. I mean,
I'm happy with the hours. Anyway.
No, I'm just saying, like, if we keep pushing this down the road, then next month we're going to have another discussion where someone wants to change something else, or, you know, I feel like we could talk ourselves into or out of anything, any topic, if we talk about it long enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'd rather just decide to make the changes now and move forward in the process. So we've already confirmed we want to limit the hours within 8 to 9 that they can operate. And now we need to decide if we want to limit the number of days. I think the easiest way to do it is days per week. Mm-hmm. I think having to deal with days number of times a year is cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think per week is a good idea. But beyond that, Emily, I take your point. It's impossible to think of all the ways somebody could abuse the opportunity or the permit. We're not going to be able to think of every possible way that it might be irritating to somebody or somebody else. But obviously we've worked on this for a number of months. We've done a good job. I do think that the idea of limiting the days per week is appropriate. And then from there, let's see how it goes. We can always amend the ordinance.
Okay, so do we want 2-3 days?
I think two would give someone an opportunity. Like, let's say they had a special event, and they're like,
yeah, 2 days.
Okay.
Is it? I'm going to ask the question just to be specific. Is it 2 days in a calendar week, 2 days in a 7-day period? Just want to meet expectations.
Calendar week.
Calendar week.
Yeah.
Calendar week. Thank you, Chris.
Monday to Sunday.
One week you decide to have it Saturday, Sunday, and then the next week you want to have it on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh,
if it's in a 7-day period, that would not be permitted.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
And then 5 hours.
Yeah. So it's
a total 35.
Five hours of operation. So I'll make those changes and we'll get a amended version to Judy to send to the Borough Planning Commission so that they're considering the first up-to-date version on Monday night, and we won't have to restart the process. And then I will send the revised version to the county as well as advertise for November business meeting. I'm still on the clock here, aren't I?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on. The next is Patriots Park ADA parking ordinance. This was brought up before. It did get lost on my desk, and I apologize for the delay on that. Reviewing the borough's ordinance, the borough does specifically by ordinance designate certain spots on municipal property for ADA parking. So we should amend the ADA parking ordinance to include the spot at Patriots Park for the van accessible spot, correct? I'll gather up some additional information that we may need just to be clear about whether it's one of three spots or however, just the one spot. And we'll be, just so it's clear in the ordinance, and we'll get that before you for the November cycle. I don't think there's any problem as a private property owner as well. It's off the public right of way. So if it wants to be posted clearly that it's for handicap parking only, The police could not write a citation because there's no ordinance section to cite in that particular area, but we could, you know, alert people that it's for handicap parking only in the interim. So if you were to expect.
Well, there is a big sign already.
Any questions on that? And then the last is 110 North State, which I know that Michelle mentioned is going to, did we get plans in
yes.
November? So we did get revised plans. It goes to the Planning Commission. Right now, we had previously were granted and approved an extension to November 1st. Based on the submission of plans, they did come back to us asking for additional 1 month extension at first, which after Michelle and I and Craig conferred, seemed far too short. And as I was walking in here tonight, I had confirmation from their attorney that they'll agree to an extension until the February 11th, 2025, which is your business meeting scheduled for February. That should give plenty of time for Planning Commission review and for the borough engineer to finish their review. And per our operating protocols, we'll have that on the agenda on Tuesday to approve that timeline.
Well, we knew it was coming. We said it the last time we approved these.
Yeah, absolutely.
Month.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
Like, longer.
but this, so we got them to agree to the February, which they are hopeful and insistent that they will be ready to have our approval at that point. That was.
Hopefully by then.
No. So that's it. There, I don't have anything else on the solicitor's report.
Okay.
So
any questions?
If you need from me.
For Greg? All right. Greg.
First item I have is just to give an update review on the 2025 budget. I've been working to create. Essentially a budget document that sort of works.
Is legible?
Is well, I think it communicates the different departments and operations in a much more concise, clear way. So to remove some of the detail, which was really extensive, which is quite impressive, of the prior developer of the budget. And I thank everyone who's gotten me information to put into the budget. For the different liaisons, boards and commissions. Another thing I want folks to think about, and feel free to reach out and meet if there are actual projects or initiatives or whatever it is, things that you might contemplate doing that might have a financial impact. Also, let me know. About those things. Anyway, we've had one budget and finance meeting. It's very helpful to get some feedback and reaction from the committee members. And I've made some of those changes. Continue to work now on the next steps, which are some of the non-general fund fire, streets improvement, lighting, and that's just to do the same kinds of fire work around those sections of the budget. So we'll meet again on the 9th, the November
9th, next 9th? Week. No, October.
October? And, yes, and then we'll roll it out.
Yeah, the plan is to have you guys, the rest of non-budget and finance, a draft 2 weeks before the October 24th meeting. So you'll have time to review it, and then at the October 24th meeting is when you'll come with questions, concerns. But there'll be a good, we spent 3 hours the other day, and there'll be a good amount of work already into it, so that it's not just a bunch of numbers being flung at you, but we've already looked at them closely. So it should make your job easier.
And because it's not that long away, far away, when you get it, it's an Excel document. It'll have tabs on the bottom that are helpful to go through some of the background. That was all for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Two other items, sort of requests that came across my desk. One was from CRNAA. They had circulated the proposal that they had for removing and replacing the scoreboard that is out there now, apparently is inoperable. They have raised money. They have their own money to do this. They have their own, you know, sort of contractors, et cetera, lined up. The only item that that was of concern, I believe, is that there is a, on the design, on the lower panel, there is a panel for advertisement, and I was wanting to find what council thought about that, if we should have any kind of restriction on that, or does the borough want to, you know, I don't know. I know sponsoring and private advertisement is something that in the past has, my experience, can be a bit of a red flag. So I thought that would bring that up. I'll just repeat, this is what I have. It's up in the share file. But that bottom panel has either sponsor. So
I'll jump in on George McCaffrey, Councilor McCaffrey, Town Baseball.
Oh,
George, jump in here real quick. So the existing panels that are there at Pickering, fortunately, we've been able to do a lot of this stuff based on community sponsorships. Gulf Steel has sponsored that field since probably about 15 years. The existing bottom panel, which you cannot read any longer, actually says, "Welcome to Pickering Field." It's proudly sponsored by Gulf Steel. It's already there. It exists. Gulf Steel is going to sponsor, once again, the replacement of this in its entirety, to the tune of about 20,000, I think we're sitting around, for the replacement. The existing board is rusted. It is not functional. It has no aesthetic value at all. So basically, we are sizing to the current standards of the company with minimal footprint increase with the exact same paneling that is there. The only change is we're going to modify it to navy blue, which is the lead colors, versus the green that's there. All the footings, every single thing will remain as is. Right now, we're fielding Mike Hutchinson, a local contractor here in Borough, which I'm sure you guys are all very familiar with, doing historic work. He's actually reached out to us to offer time to come in and do the install. So literally, it's a probably about a 4-inch footprint change. Outside of that, the sponsorship has historically always been there. So we're not really looking to modify it. If we do anything, it's going to get cleaned up. And I just threw out that it would probably look really nice for the little verbiage of the historic Pickering Field and given the age of it. But Gulf Steel will be footing the bill in its entirety. So historically, that's how these boards are financed. If you go to Chandler Field, you see that the front field is Burns. And then the back field is going to be multiple sponsors. That's out of the way. The township's going to approve for that. The biggest pressing issue is we're trying to purchase two simultaneously. In order to do that, they're going to be giving us pricing discounts and shipping discounts to get both of them out to us. So the sooner we can get the approvals, Pickering actually needs the littlest amount of work because it's actually 4 concrete footings and steel I-beams that are in place. And none of that needs to be removed. It's just a matter of replacing the boards. Whereas our fields at Chandler, it's a matter of actually excavating and putting in the new footings, new beams, and things like that. So everything that you have schematically is right there. And like I said, you know, it's probably about a 4-inch differential. All the lighting would only be used during game time. It'll be amber lighting like the first front field at Chandler. It's not intrusive. It's modern, sleek. It'll be used for anything that's related to Babe Ruth, Legion baseball, and the other time baseball. So other than that, it'll be powered off, it'll be clean, fresh, and look pretty good. So in conjunction with that, I will also note too that I also got approved about 16,000 field renos. That's we're paying that from our actual fundraising. That's going to go to the turf, infield dirt. That'll literally clean that field up. We're going to have the drainage cleared out, the French drain system there. So this is all part and parcel to just the, you know, further improvement And we all committed the funds to this based on a new 5-year agreement. We really want to see this, you know, remain, you know, top notch in there. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions, comments? I personally have no issue. They're donating the funds for the sign. It's historically been there. It's not like every week they're going to have a different business that they're advertising. It's the donation is based on that. And I say, why disrupt the apple cart?
I do think this new design is really nice.
Yeah,
I love the top.
It's actually like a really throwback cool design, and the top section, believe it or not, where you see that, it's kind of got like an architectural look to it. Well, on the boards that we put in Chandler Field, that would be revolving sponsorships. Whereas this facility, it'll be Hardline, and Eileen will get that sponsorship, and that'll be her tank for that, and it'll be there, you know, for the next, hopefully, you know, 15 years we can have something like this. So.
It's nice. It is nice.
Question for Greg. So we had this issue with the banners on State Street for the Pine Pink last year with advertising on them, and Nix, that was, yeah. Are we running into the same issue with this sign?
Since it's an already existing forum with the commercial advertising already there, but already it says it's sponsored by Steel Golf, that we're not creating a new forum, I don't see the same issue arising.
I just want to make sure that we weren't.
Yep. You're not opening a new forum, it's already existing.
So it's the forum, is it settlement? I presume, like, they're going to be
yeah. Yeah, they will be the sponsor until that sign.
And the way the advertisement is, well, he's on there, he's a permanent.
Yeah, it's, and I think it's like, etched into this, yeah. It won't be, removable out. Whereas the one that we're doing on the other field, mm-hmm. actually, I don't appear to be So it'll be just the bottom section, and I think ultimately it will say something to the effect of welcome to the historic Pickering Field, proudly sponsored by Goldstein.
You mentioned other panels?
No, that design is what you're seeing for Pickering. Yeah.
And other than donating the sign, there's no annual agreement or anything for the rental of the panel space.
They're covering this field in its entirety, which is what apparently, and it's, again, it's before my time, but apparently that's what they did many, many years ago. Which you call that the Longhorns.
Is there any other?
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about it.
So just so we're aware, like, what would your approval process be so that we know that we have the green light?
I don't think it's anything we need to vote on, right?
Okay.
That would have been the only thing.
Okay.
Is if there was a top or down, was there, otherwise you'd replace something there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and all the electric, everything's there, all the footings. Like I said, there's going to be like a nominal footprint issue to stay close to stuff.
Well, thank you for it's really nice. It's gonna look great.
Yeah, it's gonna look great, and the improvements that we got planned out are gonna make that really start to really come together here. And then just as an add-on, and I'll get with Craig as this comes together, we are in talks with some private financing in the borough from a fundraising perspective to try and really update the existing shack that's there. Not anything with the footprint, because apparently it's in store. I have no idea. It looks like a bar for all I know, but the plumbing's getting shot and everything like that. So that's in the next 6 months. That'll be more some borough representatives that want to see it cleaned up, and we'll bring that to you guys and kind of go through that process. But the field itself will get, that work will get started here mid-October, and it'll be a nice improvement for sure.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Last thing is a request from the Food Court and Storage Association to use the barn house for art creative things on Market Day. The only things I could think of points of caution were that there's a lock that they might have to bring stuff beforehand and lock it in there, or is after, and then collecting of their trash, and it would be a name to ensure that they want their insurance policy. Other than that, that's what I was thinking. Just points of caution and heads up for council and if any action needed to do that. Or...
So I was approached by hanging on for a minute. I was just going to see. I can't see Greg to see if somebody back there. I was approached last spring because the, I think it's her name, wanted to have a project for children at Patriots Park putting together scarecrows. Originally, she wanted to have it in the park, and I said, well, I think a better place for that would be in the carriage house because it'll be more contained. And she thought, oh, great, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So I told her, wait until about a week before the event just to make sure the park was done, make sure that everything. So that's when I brought it to Craig and to make sure that it's okay with the borough to allow them to use it. I did hear from Dave Callahan that they might want to bring the supplies over a couple days before Market Day, so they would need to lock it up in our garage, but didn't want to share our conversation with them. So if it's okay for them to do that, I would open it up for them. So there's one way is I can open it up and close it, or I can open it up and they put their own lock on it for those couple days. And take their
what do we store in there?
Right now, nothing.
But give them a lock combination.
Well, in the future, we probably will have things like that.
But what's the historical system?
I have a solution. What if we get a key lock, a traditional key lock for these purposes? Here is the temporary lock to use, and you can use the key, and then you have a key, and you can remove it and put the other lock back on.
Or we can get digital ones. Yeah, let's give the one with the code when you have Josh.
Well,
I laid this out for Craig, so whatever Craig wants to do with this.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
We'll figure the lock thing out.
Yeah, I'm not concerned that they'll steal anything from us, so
it's nothing to steal.
Right, now there's nothing to steal.
Okay,
cool.
All right. Well,
other than that, I don't have any other.
Okay.
To,
that'll be cute.
No questions.
Any questions for Craig?
Craig.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. Moving on to the president's report. So we are going to make a couple motions tonight, just because. So background, just in case you don't know, when Pat resigned, we split it out into two. We decided that's when we're going to go for a manager, and then we still needed the accounting piece, right? So we hired GWH across the street to be our accountants for a rate of $75,000 for the year, which started last October 1st and now needs to be renewed. We don't want to do an annual renewal at this point because a lot of things are changing. Craig is onboarding a lot of stuff that Chandler, one of the accountants, is currently doing that will become part of his duties as manager slash treasurer. So in the next few months, as he's continuing, they're setting aside time specifically to train on things that he's going to be taking on. So what their role is going to look like come January 1st, it's going to be different. So what Budget and Finance is suggesting is that we just renew for the next 3 months so that we have the time to get Craig up to speed on everything, and then we address another annual agreement for 2025 because it will look drastically different in terms of their responsibilities and probably the amount that we pay them. So our current agreement that ended yesterday was for $6,500 a month. The amount of extra time it's going to take above their duties to train Craig, it was requested that that number be raised for the next 3 months. And so between discussions with Steve and Budget and Finance, we compromised at $7,700 a month for October, November, and December. So that's what we're asking council to vote on tonight, is just to extend through the rest of this year. And then we will reevaluate what our agreement will look like for 2025. And then the second, well, does anyone have any questions on that?
So it's a training fee, basically. It's what they're tacking on to.
The additional hours that they're going to spend. And
yeah, gotcha.
The next thing, we'll I'll talk about it because it'll give some context. So when we originally went into the agreement with GWH, I wasn't part of those discussions, but from what Steve has said, and I asked Tara, there was, they'd never done municipal accounting before. We've never had an accountant that wasn't a staff treasurer. And so the $75,000 amount was picked based off of, some data, but really it was a nebulous amount. And what they have, GWH has found over the last year, because they keep track of their billable hours, they have spent more time here than what we've paid them for, in excess of about $20,000. So, and again, that time keeps going down as Craig got hired. He's taking on stuff.
Was that their onboarding too, like trying to make sense of it? So
yes,
it took a lot
yeah.
of time.
I mean, it was onboarding. It was the fact that when we hired them, we were in the first round of manager, and we expected to have one in January, and then we didn't find one, and then Craig didn't start till May. So a lot of things together. So, in good faith, I think they're looking for a little bit of a compromise. And so the number that we came up with was $4,500. The number that was presented to us was $19,000. So it was a pretty big compromise on their end. But so that will take care of the extra time that they've spent. And it's interesting because as Craig started and as the year has gone on, the number of hours they're spending is decreasing. So we see the trend. And it will decrease even more once Craig starts taking on some of that stuff on a regular basis. So those are those two motions that Budget and Finance is asking for tonight. So if anyone has questions, comments. All right, well then I will entertain a motion to extend the agreement.
I'll make a motion to extend the agreement with GWH Advisors and Accountants through the end of 2024 and a monthly rate of $7,700 for October through December.
Great. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions from council? Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Okay, and I'll entertain a motion for the overages.
I'd like to make a motion to pay GWH Advisors and Accountants $4,500 towards incurred overages during the preceding year.
A motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion a second. Any comments or questions from council? Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Great. Thanks. And we'll... Greg and Craig, well, I know we're working on just a little, it could even just be like a little paragraph to like, it doesn't need to be a
it's just a letter before.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Okay, moving on to proposed agenda items for next week. The certificate of appropriateness for 22 Penn Street. If you remember last month at our meeting, Mike Hutchinson came and spoke in public to be heard. We have received the revised plans. They're in the share file folder, so this is just us voting next week on the COA. So if anyone has any additional comments?
Well, my comment was, they had asked for some changes to show up on drawings that were going to be sent to council before we reviewed them, and now we got them. My question is, do we, not that we want to send them back to HARB, but is HARB satisfied that those changes to those drawings met what they had requested?
Well, I mean, they made a motion to approve it pending revised plans.
Right, and then, but they had not seen the revised plans. So then the revised plans came just now to us. Did they, I know they didn't officially weigh in because they didn't look at them at their meeting, but has anyone from HARB made sure that those changes were what they were looking for?
I recall that the recommendation was to forward it once the revised plans were in. They were not to go back to HAR, but they were to be they were just simply forwarded to the council to confirm that the changes that HARB had made were included in the plans.
Well, I think that's exactly what I said. Do we know that what's on those plans? So, Chris, have you looked at them? Do you know if what's on those plans are what HARB had requested at their meeting?
I have not. I can't confirm that at this time. But my point, though, is that the HARB didn't ask for the plans to come back to HARB. So we have to determine that.
I would say since HARB is advisory and the council makes the final decision, ultimately, if council is okay with the plans as they appear now, then there is no necessity for it to go back to HARB.
Oh, I wasn't saying right. You need to go back there. I was just saying, like, I guess I'll go back and read the notes from HARB, and I'll look at the little bubble drawings on the drawings and say, okay, they did this, they did this, they did this.
Well, I mean,
so then that will satisfy me. But that's just kind of where, I guess that's where it is.
I mean, we should look at the plans for next week. If we have questions, we certainly can refer it back to HARB if it's not clear.
Or have someone from HARB there to answer the questions if we have it.
Yep. I'll ask Jim to attend.
Thanks.
Okay. That's what I was going to suggest. Okay. Craig, this is you too.
It's yeah, playground equipment. Sure. And Josh, if you want to weigh in as well. We have brought this a couple times before. This is touched here at Borough Council about the replacement of the primary non-swing play equipment, the jungle gym. It's in the middle, to call it. We went back to the drawing board and some of the vendors and recruited some bids for some different alternative pieces. We did find something that looked a little better, had a little bit more diversity.
A little better?
Okay.
This is like kids, amazing compared to that blue thing with like one pirate wheel on it.
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to play on this thing.
So one thing sort of did lead to another, and there were some costs and estimates that we got for moving some of the existing pieces around. We also thought more about, well, is this a bigger, you know, a project more holistically about the park? We've known about the ADA need for land at the entrance. And we did also want to meet the expectations and keep parking the parks department more in the loop. And Josh went to that meeting and
did they like it?
They go ahead, you can.
Yeah, so they like this equipment. And when I mentioned about equipment that was more accessible and versus inclusivity, this was a conversation that we had. I don't know if y'all want me to pass this around, but it's sort of like a pie chart on like the difference between accessibility and inclusivity. And anyway, they have this whole really great sort of like packet of information that explains why this equipment probably meets the most needs of various different kinds of inclusivity issues and things like that.
Plus, it looks more age appropriate for the age group we're targeting because
exactly.
Peaceable Kingdom is for very small children, and this needs to be for
right bigger
know.
Kids. We don't have any equipment like this in the borough. They can pick different colors. It doesn't have to be this color. It has like a whole color swatch and that kind of thing. But they're on board with something more like this moving forward. This equipment does cost more. And Craig and I talked about this. And this gets back into the bigger plan with the DCNR grant that around the corner and that we can apply for in January. putting in the access ramps and the sidewalk would not be a project that you feel like, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't feel like they would necessarily grant us that one because it would be too small alone. But if we were to package it with this project as well, then we would be awarded the grant to do.
You mean package the play structure itself with all of the accessibility improvements we would need to make?
Yeah, by expanding the things we're doing, expand the competitiveness.
Right.
The grant. Getting different. With that, and also maybe staying closer to what a typical grant size is. That's very difficult to say, but I know it's also a 50% match. So that's a pretty one of the about as large as a match gets. So if you're applying for something like the prior, which is $50,000, that is too small of a grant for them to probably.
What is the price on this structure?
This is around $100,000, I think, to do, including moving some of the other equipment.
And taking the old stuff away, all that.
Yeah. Wood chips, things like that.
The full boat was about 102 or something.
What's it called? Okay.
I forget, but
I think willingly.
We would be moving towards this into the first quarter, the time band where we would do an application. And my main concern was that, you know, this was in the budget for 2024. Is the recreation board expecting this? So I'm glad to hear that they're on board for looking at this for something, including some of the other changes and taking some more time.
So the equipment itself is like 60, just for what you see here. It's the labor involved in installing it and pulling out the other equipment that starts getting into it.
Yeah.
But
well, they
cost a lot more.
Yeah, we don't have anyone to do that. So
right,
they want to do it. I'll pay them to do it.
Right. So, but I think, but it definitely, I have this packet here, and I should probably email it out, or do y'all want it in
ShareFile?
Yeah, it goes through a lot of great points, which I think this packet in itself would be helpful for. I guess applying for the grant, they can have more material to look through and to think about.
This looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
The fake children are creepy. You can zoom in on their faces.
I have real children in this packet. If you want to take a look at the packet, so there's real kids.
So what action do we need to take next week?
Nothing.
Okay.
That this will. Go dark until the first quarter. We'll bring it back again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we get a lot more equipment for the money, so I think it's a really good.
This is a $10,000 difference between the first iteration, and it's like a million times better in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's some nice equipment. So, and I welcome any feedback.
And the DCNR Small Communities Grant has a better match. Yeah, has certain requirements, but I'm sure we can meet them in terms of how much can be spent on each category.
Yeah.
But in the end, the match is much
smaller. Right. But they were much happier with this.
And small communities is by population small. That's what
yes. Well, it's I think it's population and also size of grant. It's a much smaller grant.
Okay.
But the first, I forgot how much they changed it with inflation, which is I wish we could have done that. Patriots Park had it, but the size of the grant for Patriots Park was much smaller, and they have since upped it so that the maximum grant is more like 100,000, whereas the maximum grant used to be 70.
And by the way, they came out and did all of the survey work on their own. Like, we didn't need to do a formal survey or anything like that. They came and measured everything out, and we have that that design blueprint as well. So this equipment does fits in the parking that's within all the guidelines. So
it seems like they're a company that you're impressed that you enjoy working with it.
They work with Council Rock. They've installed Council Rock equipment. They've installed the equipment up in Doylestown, the Castle one.
It's
Castle.
Okay.
Yeah, they've handled that one.
Are they co-stars?
They are co-stars.
All right. Go dark. Thanks. That looks great.
Thank you.
Excited. All right, Gina.
So on our open committee positions, we still have three for the Human Relations Commission. The two members for the Recreation Board, we did receive two applications for those, which I forwarded along to Tracy Osecki. And I know she spoke with Aileen, and I just forwarded along Sean's application to her yesterday. She did know him and has spoken to him. She spoke to him at the event they had, but it, both of these people would be a good fit. So
okay, so
ready to go. Yeah.
That should be on the agenda for next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, and Sean was also willing to be treasurer as well as a member. So that would cover all the open positions on the rec board.
Great.
Yeah. And then still looking for a member for the Shade Tree Commission.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Gina? Okay. Any old business?
So at our last meeting, we discussed the parking situation at the Noah Elementary School. I did meet with the superintendent. They were on board with the plans, same plans that I presented to the council here. They are willing to share on the costs for the installation of the signs. I just asked if I could be permitted to talk with Greg and as far as drafting an ordinance for them.
You may speak with Greg.
I enunciated it properly.
Yeah, moving forward, yeah. Okay. Whatever you need, okay. Reach out to him. You guys can make it happen.
And I also was instructed by council to purchase a new speed board. It did come in. We talked to Scott's whole season about installing it. They've just requested that we receive borough council permission for him to be installed.
Yeah. And this is going to go on
Lincoln,
right? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about the house that's going with the car? Did you get it? The new one?
It's still being outfitted.
You have your
my car's
okay.
Great. My car's fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Chief. Any announcements? Any public to be heard? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm so moved. Oh, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
You can miss a move, but we need a second too.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thanks, everybody.
I didn't want to break the board. I'm like, somebody in the room.
No, you could have.
We've been funded by the way, so we're really quickly.